the Torah gives exceptions to the rule.
Neder in Shavua lo yachal
dvaro. A young girl before the age of 12 and a half takes a neder of Shavua. In certain circumstances, the father has the right to be made for the neder. And if a married woman takes a neder, the husband in certain circumstances has a right to be made for the neder. He says, Mufalach. So these circumstances are restricted. The rights of the father or the husband to annul the nedarim or the shvuos of the wife or the daughter are restricted. It only applies in instances where the neder is beino lebeino, if it affects their relationship with each other, or inui nefesh, if she's really going to suffer because of the neder. And the Mishnayos give detailed descriptions of what's considering suffering. The woman took a neder or a shua not to take a bath for a year. Is that considered suffering? Is not considered suffering? All pilpul in the Gemara. What's considered inoy nefesh? What's considered beino lebeino? So because it's not so clear in what circumstances the father or the husband have the right to be mefer to annul the nedarim of the wife or the daughter, so in Shulchan Aruch they write the minig is that we don't have this practice anymore. Even though it's a parsha in the Torah, hafara, we don't do hafara anymore. So what do we do if we want to annul a neder? We go to Bezna 3, and we explain that there was some error involved in accepting the neder. I didn't realize how difficult it was going to be to observe the neder. If I would have realized, I would never have taken the neder. So if it's really true, if the person is not telling the truth, he was in such an angry state that he would have taken the neder anyway. So then the hataras nedarim is not valid. But if he says, if I would have been in a, that's a charata, person has charata, he took the neder in a very, he was too happy, he was too angry, he was depressed, he was sad, whatever. If he was he wasn't in a state of equilibrium, and he has charata on that state of mind, or there was a Pesach. I didn't realize how problematic the neder is going to be. So if you have either a Pesach or a Charata, then the Pesach says three times, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Why do they have to say three times? So the answer is because this ability of the Bezdin to do Hataras Nedarim that we are familiar with doesn't say anywhere in the Torah. This is only known through the Torah Shebal Peh. There are different parts to the Torah Shebal Peh. Sometimes you have a din which is read in between the lines. The pasuk in Chumash switches from singular to plural. The pasuk switches from masculine to feminine. Or the word is written mole, choser, whatever. There's something unusual about the structure, the grammatical structure of the pasuk. So we have midah shatar and adreshes b'hem, how to read in between the lines to figure out all the details of the din. And sometimes we have a din which is only known by tradition, halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. There's no way in the world to read this in between the lines of the psukim and chumash. All the midas shatar and adreshes behem will not help us. This is purely halacha l'moshe mi'sinai. So the Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Chagiga makes a statement, aheta nedarim, hataras nedarim as we know it today, that a bezdin convenes and they say mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. This is porchin bo'avir. This is transmitted from orally from generation to generation. The ein lahem ameshe yismochu. There's no midah shatar nedreshes mem. There's no way to read this in between the lines of the chumash. So because this institution of hataras nedarim was only known through the Torah Shebal Peh, the Karoim never observed it. The Karoim, the Karaites, only follow Mikra, only follow what it says explicitly in Tanakh, and give their own interpretation of the Tanakh. Sometimes they follow Chumras that we don't follow because they made up their own interpretations in Tanakh. So the Karoim never held from Hataras Nedarim. They practiced Hafaras Nedarim. The father can be made for the Nedarim of the daughter, and the husband can annul the Nedarim of the wife. But Hataras Nedarim, as we know it today, the Bezdin declares Mutalach, so that they never held from that. So the practice was in the days of the second days Hamikdash, there were disputes between the Tzedukim and the Prushim. The Prushim were the Rabbanim who follow the traditions of the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Tzdukim were the forerunners of the Karoim. They only followed what they interpreted in the Torah Shabbat. So when the Tanoim, the Mishnayos in Menachos describe that when the Chachamim would be observing some aspect of halacha, it's only known through the Torah Shebaal Peh, so they'd make a big fuss and a big hullabaloo to demonstrate that they're not following the simple reading of the Chumash, they're following the Torah Shebaal Peh. So sometimes they would say things three times for emphasis, to emphasize that we're following the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Mishnah gives an example, Ketzira Sa'omer, on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, you have to harvest some barley and bring a mincha sa'omer. Normally a korban mincha is brought from wheat, and once in a while there's an exception to the rule, you bring from barley. Barley is meichel behema, wheat is meichel adam. So one of those exceptions to the rule is the mincha sa'omer. The flour, the korban mincha that you bring on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach is mincha sa'orim, from meichel behema. So the simple reading of the Chumash is that the mincha sa'omer is always brought on Sunday, Mimachmas HaShabbos. And 7 weeks later, you count Sfiras HaYomer all 4 weeks from Sunday to Shabbos, and Shavuos is always on a Sunday, an extended weekend. And that's what the Tzedukim claimed. Moshe Rabbeinu was Oyev Yisrael Haya, he loved the Jewish people. And they thought Moshe Rabbeinu invented all the dinim in the Torah. They didn't believe that it was God-given. So they said Moshe Rabbeinu Oyev Yisrael Haya, he loved the Jewish people. And Pesach is a whole week long, and Sukkot is a whole week long, so we celebrate. Shavuos is only one day, so he decided to make it an extended weekend. So Shavuos always falls out on a Sunday. So this was the position of the Tzedukim in the days of the Bais Sheni. There were many years that they were controlling the Beis Hamikdash, and their Kohanim from the Tzedukim were bringing the Karbanos in this improper fashion. They were observing Shavuos always on a Sunday. When the Chachamim finally succeeded in kicking them out from the Beis HaMikdash, they made a Yontif. And it says when they would do the Ketzira Sa'omer, when they would harvest the Mincha Sa'omer on the first night of Chol HaMoed Pesach and offer it on the morning of the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, so they would have a big public gathering, everyone would be present at night when they would do the Ketzira Sa'omer. So they would repeat everything three times. Should I harvest the Yomer? Everyone would scream out, yes! Like a big public rally to support the Torah Shebaal Peh. Tonight is not Matzoi Shabbos. Are you sure? Should I harvest the Yomer? They say, yes. Should I put it in this sack? Everyone would scream out, yes! Three times, everything three times. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Rabbi Yosef Karo, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, that our practice is when we do HaTorah Sdorim, the Bezin should say three times Butalach, Butalach, Butalach for emphasis, because the Karoim never believed in the Hatorah Sdorim, because Hatorah Sdorim doesn't appear in the Chumash anywhere. Hatorah Het and Dorim Parchim Boavir was just transmitted orally from generation to generation. It's Halach al-Moshe Misina V'ed Lehem al-Meshe Yismocho. There's no Mocker in the Chumash. So many people have the practice on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we do Hataras Nedarim. So the Bezin says nine times. They say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Enkan lo neder v'lo shvo v'lo cherem v'lo shamta. Then they say that three times. Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. So that's what the Poskim say, that's a joke. That's a mistake. You don't have to say nine times for emphasis. When you say the text once, Mutalach, 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 Enkan lo neder v'lo shvo, you already said it three times. There's no need to emphasize it by saying it nine times. Three times is sufficient. We have a very old minig that dates back at least to the days of the Gaonim, maybe even earlier, that on Leil Yom HaKippurim we recite Kol Nidre. The original text of Kol Nidre, until it was touched up by the father of Rabbi Natam, the son-in-law of Rashi, Rabbi Meir. So the old text of Kol Nidre was that Kol Nidre is a Hatoras Nedarim. We have matter all of the Nedarim that we took from last Yom Kippur until this Yom Kippur. Now we say it differently. We're making a declaration in advance that any Nedarim will take the Yom Kippurim Zad, Yom Kippurim Habal Leinu L'Taiva. From this Yom Kippur till next Yom Kippur should be null and void. But the old text used to just be that it's a Hatoras Nedarim on all the Nedarim that we took in the course of the past year. So why did the minhag develop the dafke on to introduce Yom Kippur? You make a hataras nedarim. What does hataras nedarim have to do with Yom Kippur? So the different explanations are given. So the famous explanation appears in all the Chassidish machzorim. Kol Nidre is introduced in the machzor with a passage from the Zohar, where the Zohar makes a comparison. That just like if the Beis Din is mata neder, so the halacha declares that the neder is uprooted me'ikara, it's considered as if the neder from day number one was made in error, and the neder was not binding at all. Not that from now on it's not binding. It turns out it was never binding. Oikara neder me'ikaroi. So we want to imply that so too if a person does real tshuva me'ahavo, tshuva me'ahavo is oikar the averis me'ikarom. If a person does tshuva begrudgingly, okay, I'll try to control myself. So that's only oikar the averis mikana l'havo. He won't be punished for that. But if he really does a better tshuva, that's oikar the averis me'ikarom. So that's the standard explanation that's given. Why we introduce Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre? Because the Zohar draws the parallel between the Koyach of Hataras and Darm to undo the Neder from the very outset, and the Koyach of Tshuva, real strong, powerful Tshuva, to undo the whole Avera, Meikore. But some historians wrote an additional explanation. That in Alexandria, for many years, there was a practice that the Orthodox Jews, as opposed to the Karaim, there were many Karaim there, the Orthodox Jews had the practice of having a parade in support of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So some German Jewish historian from 150 years ago wrote a whole essay suggesting that maybe that's the reason why we introduce Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, because Yom Kippur is the day on which we want to emphasize our commitment to the Torah Shebaal Peh. So we start off Yom Kippur with Hataras Nedarim, which is pure Torah Shebaal Peh. It doesn't even have any roots in the Chumash. There isn't even Ein Lehem Amesha Yismochu. We know that the Talmud says there are 2 days when we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah. We celebrate on Shavuos, Zman Matan Taraseinu, and we celebrate on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says Yom Kippur is one of, the Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, Yom Kippur was one of the jolliest days of the year. And the Gemara says the reason why was because Yom Shenitnu Bo Lucha Shnias, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from heaven with the second set of Luchas on Yom Kippur. The first time he came down was 40 days after Shavuos. That was Shivasa B'Tammuz, and he saw the Jews dancing around the Egel Azov, so he smashed the Luchas. Shivasa B'Tammuz was Yom Shenishtabra Bo HaLuchas. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalal Hashem should forgive us, and he came down with the second Luchas, intact, on Yom HaKippur. So we celebrate both days. So the Achrayim have a discussion, why do we need in the Jewish calendar 2 days to celebrate Kabbalah Satorah? So they explain at length that the original plan was that there's only going to be Torah Shebichsav, and everything would be able to be figured out from the text of the Chumash. So Shavuos was the Yontif of Kabbalah Satorah of Torah Shebichsav. And then the Midrashim explain it. The Zohar explains at length that after the Chet HaEgel, there was a need to change the plan, that from now on there has to be 2 parts to the Torah. It's necessary to have a Torah Shebaal Peh, which will be unique to the Jewish people. Torah Shebichsav, the non-Jews can read also. Torah Shebaal Peh is only unique for the Jewish people. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Lucha Shniyos on Yom HaKippurim, we celebrate another day. That's Kabbalah Satorah Shebaal Peh. Shavuos is the Yontif of Kabbalah Torah Shebichsav, and Yom Kippur is the Yontif when we celebrate Kabbalah Torah Shebaal Peh in addition to Torah Shebichsav. So that's apparently why in Alexandria they used to have this parade on Shavuos in support of the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Orthodox Jews would march in a parade to demonstrate the fact that we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's what some suggest, why we introduce Yom Kippur with the Kol Nidre, which is pure Torah Shebaal Peh. Purely Torah Shebaal Peh. The Hafara, which is explicitly discussed in the Chumash, we don't practice today. We don't know exactly what's called Beino Lebeino, what's called Dinui Nefesh. But the HaTorah Sdorim, which is purely Torah Shebal Peh, we do all the time. We always do HaTorah Sdorim.
When the Jew came, he said, I want to swim in the Volga.
Baruch Hu proclaimed Anochi v'Lo'yi Locha directly to Bnei Yisrael. And the other eight of the Aseres HaDibros, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say over. Bnei Yisrael couldn't understand what Hashem had said. The Chachamim saw this in the text of the Chumash. Anochi Hashem Elokecho is Melosha Nochach. Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. Lo'yi Locha Lehim Acharim Al Ponai. Then from the third mitzvah it says, Loisisa Hashem, Hashem alakech alashav. Ki lo inak Hashem doesn't say, Loisisa Shmi, ki lo anake. So from the third one on, from the third of the Aseres HaDibros, Moshe Rabbeinu is already saying. So the Gemara says, the Torah, Tov Vav Reish Hei, is the gematria of 611. Torah Tzivolon HaMoshe. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us 611 mitzvahs. If you add the other two, that adds up to 613, and that's how we know that there are 613 mitzvahs. This passage in the Gemara is very problematic, because in the pasuk liyelocha lehim acharim al panai, there are several separate mitzvahs that are counted individually. You're not allowed to believe in any other deity. There are four lavim already in that one pasuk alone, in that one second dibra alone. The first dibra of the Aseres HaDibros, that's a famous dispute between the Rambam and the Halachas Gedolos, whether that counts as a mitzvah. The Halachas Gedolos counts it as a mitzvah. Allah Sadovus thinks it should not be counted. That's the preamble to the Constitution. That's the introduction. Anochi Hashem Alakecha, and therefore I'm going to give you the following 613 mitzvahs. You can't say HaKadosh Baruch is commanding us to believe in Him. If you don't believe in God, so there's no mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, so there's no mitzvah. So there's nothing to discuss. So the Halachas Gedolos is of the opinion that Anochi Hashem Elokecha does not count as a mitzvah. The second of the Aseres HaDibros is really four mitzvahs, four loisesa. Lo'yelocha, lo'sas lo'cha pes lo'cha t'muno, lo'seshtach v'lam lo'sovde. There are four lavim. So either HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us five mitzvahs directly or four, but He didn't just tell us two. So that's a problem. We don't know exactly how to understand the Maimah Chazal. Second problem is that the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos and in the last line in the first parak in Chagiga, the gematrios are only parparos lachachma. It's a cute thing. Gematrios are not from the midrash atarin nidreshes there. They're cute things, but it's not relevant halacha l'maisa. We never have any dinim based on any gematria. The Gemara in Masechah Shabbos quotes one tanis of the opinion that the fact that there are 39 of his malachas is based on a gematria. Dvarim hadvarim ela hadvarim aleph lamed hey is 36, and dvarim is another two, and hadvarim is a third one is 39. So the Pnei Yeshua says on that Gemara in Masechah Shabbos that it must be an asmachta. He never learned any halachas out of a gematria. Gematrios are just parparos. They're cute things, but it's not from the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Ben. Similarly, the Gemara in Nazir has a din, stop Nazir Shloshim Yom. So the Gemara sounds like it says that this is based on a gematria. Kadosh Yihyeh. Gadel Perasaro Show Yihyeh Yud Hey is a gematria of 30. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes over there that we don't have any halachas based on gematria. That's only a remez. That's not a real limud. So here it's also problematic. the whole institution of 613 mitzvahs is based on this gematria. That's the whole mocker. So that's problematic. It must be that they must have had an oral tradition that there are 613 mitzvahs. So the question begs itself. There are millions and millions and millions of mitzvahs every day, from the minute we wake up in the morning till we go to sleep at night. There's a mitzvah every step of the way, to do this, to do that, to do it the other way, to do it the other way. So how did the Tanoim come to this conclusion? How did they take millions of mitzvahs and shrink them into 613? So the Rambam wrote the whole Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam was not the first one, he was not the last one. The Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which has two parts. The first part are the Sharoshim, the Klalim, the guidelines to determine what should be which mitzvah should be included in the count of Taryag and which mitzvah should not be included. And when do you count many mitzvahs as one? For example, not to be Mechal Shabbos is counted as one mitzvah, not to be Mechal Shabbos. You don't count it as 39, even though there are 39 different malachas. And then the Yerushalmi has a comment that each one of the 39 malachas could have 39 toldos. So maybe you should count the laws of Shabbos as 39 times 39. So the Rambam writes, no, you count it as one loisasekal malacha. You're not allowed to do any malacha, counts once. Let's say to bring the Musafim on Rosh Chodesh. Monday is going to be Rosh Chodesh Av. So maybe the Beis HaMikdash will be built. We'll have to bring 11 Musafim, 11 Karbonis. You count it as one mitzvah to bring Musafim on Rosh Chodesh. Every single Shabbos, you bring two Shnei Chvasim and Shana Tamimim. You bring two Musafim. You bring two Oilas. It's counted as one mitzvah to bring two oilas. Every day you bring tamidim, Tamid Shal Shachar, Tamid Shal Bein Abayim. The Rambam thinks that that's counted as one mitzvah. Others think that it should be counted as two mitzvahs, to bring every day Tamid Shal Shachar, to bring every day Tamid Shal Bein Abayim. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam on the tamidim. So the Rambam has the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off the 14 Shoroshim, the 14 guidelines, which determine which mitzvahs deserve to be counted and which should not be included in the count, and when should they be counted as one mitzvah and when should they be counted as many mitzvahs. So the first of the 14 klalim, and then the second half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam gets down lemaisa to count which are the 248 mitzvahs asay, which are the 365 mitzvahs lemaisa asay, that together it adds up to 613. So in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam writes as one of the klalim, one of the guidelines, that if something is purely hayra shor, something is not a mitzvah hanoheges ledoros, it doesn't belong in the minyan HaMitzvahs. We're only including mitzvahs that apply throughout all of future generations. So he gives as an example his disagreement with the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. Halachas Gedolos was a Sefer HaMitzvahs that was composed years before the Rambam was born, in the period of the Gaonim, the days of the Gaonim. It's not exactly clear who the author of the Sefer Halachas Gedolos is, but it's from the Tkufas HaGaonim. So in the Sefer Halachas Gedolos, he lists off what in his opinion are the Taryag mitzvahs, and he includes the pasuk from this week's Parshas HaShavua. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu Tzoraris HaMidyan VeHikisem Oisam. We have to wage war against Midyan and see to it that you wipe out all the soldiers. The women and the children are the civilians, and we'll negotiate about that, but all the soldiers have to be wiped out. So then, after the Jews won the war, so the Torah gives the parsha of kashering all the trefa pots and pans that we spoke about the other day. And the Torah also formulates the mitzvah of trumas hameches. They took a lot of animals and a lot of people. Half of the loot was given to the soldiers who fought the war. There were only 12,000 soldiers. Elef lamata, Shnei Masar Elef Chalutzei Tzavo. There were only 12,000 soldiers and they won the whole war. half of the loot was given to the soldiers, and the other half of the loot was given to Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael were obligated to give a certain proportion to donate to the Beis HaMikdash as Trumas HaMeches, and the soldiers were obligated to give a different proportion. Echad Achuz Ben HaChamishim, 2%, 1 out of 50, or Echad Achuz Mechamesh HaMios, 1 out of every 500. So this was only a din that applied once in the history of the world, on the occasion of the victory in battle against the Midianim. Nonetheless, even though this only was a mitzvah once in the history of the world, the halachas gedolos counts it as one of the mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs, that the soldiers and the tzibur, the nation, had to donate trumas ameches, had to donate a certain percentage of the loot that they won at the successful end of the war to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam disagrees with this halachas gedolos, and he says this is a major mistake. We don't include in the minyan mitzvahs a mitzvah which is only haruah shoah. Just like we didn't include the mitzvah to knock on a next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach of Yetzias Mitzrayim and ask for matonis, because that was once in the history of the world. So here also, we shouldn't include the mitzvah of Trumas Amechas. Now this is the taina that the Rambam has against the Sefer Halachas Gedolos. The Ramban very often writes to defend the Halachas Gedolos. He writes, he doesn't necessarily agree with the position of the Halachas Gedolos, but he thinks that it wasn't fair that the Rambam wiped the floors with the Halachas Gedolos. The opinion of the Halachas Gedolos can be defended. So he writes over here, he has two suggestions how we can defend the position of the Halachas Gedolos. So one suggestion he gives is maybe the Bahag, maybe the author of the Halachas Gedolos is of the opinion that this is a mitzvah hanuheges l'doros. Whenever the Jewish army is victorious in battle and they seize a lot of loot, maybe that's the din l'doros, that they're always obligated to give either 2%, Echad Achuz Ben HaChamishim, or Echad Achuz Mechamesh HaMeos, maybe they're always obligated to donate this amount to the Beis HaMikdash, if you have a Beis HaMikdash. This suggestion of the Ramban is very difficult. The commentaries point out it's against the Beferish Gemara. The Gemara Menachos says black and white that the mitzvah of Trumas HaMeches was only Harosh Shoah. It's not a din l'doros that whenever you're victorious in battle, you have to donate this amount. So that's out of the question. The Ramban simply forgot the Gemara. Then the Ramban has another suggestion that's very fascinating. He says maybe the Halachas Gedolos is of the opinion that the only time we don't include a Hayrash Shoah in the Minyan HaMitzvahs is if the nature of the Hayrash Shoah is such that it doesn't make sense at all in the later generations. Let's say today, there is no mitzvah for me to knock on my next door neighbor's door who's not Jewish and ask for matonis. Not only am I not obligated to, even if I volunteer on my own, there is no kima mitzvah. Sometimes you're not mechuyev to do something, but if you volunteer, it's a mitzvah kiyumis. Here, if you're going to knock on the next door neighbor's door, ask for matonis, and he gives you the matana, there isn't even a kima mitzvah. Garnish me garnish. Let's say there was a hayrah shoah regarding the man, those asirim imenerat boiker. You're not allowed to leave open the man till the next morning. So let's say today we don't have any man. So a person will observe such a chumrah, whatever food he has, on any given day, he'll never leave it over till the next morning. Not only is he not obligated to do that, there's no kima mitzvah, even if you volunteer on your own. There's no kima mitzvah. So that's purely a hayrah shoah. So that the Halachas Gedolos also agrees does not belong in the minyan mitzvahs. But he says, Ramban points out, this mitzvah of donating echad achuz ben hachamishim, either 2% or echad achuz mechamesh hameyos, smaller percentage, to the Beis HaMikdash, even if in a later generation the mitzvah doesn't apply, as the Gemara says explicitly, this is only harasha, doesn't apply in the later generations, but if in a later generation someone will donate something to the Beis HaMikdash, there will be a kiyum mitzvah. He donated something to the Beis HaMikdash. He donated to the Berak HaBayis, or he donated to the Kodesh HaMizbeach. Of course that will constitute a mitzvah kiyumis. So that's the suggestion that the Ramban makes. Perhaps the Halachas Gedolos is of the opinion that Hayroah Shoah are not included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs if the nature of the Hayroah Shoah is such that it simply doesn't make any sense in the future generation. There isn't even a mitzvah kiyumis to volunteer it. Even if you volunteer it, you've accomplished nothing. But whenever there was a tzivui l'shoah, hayroah shoah, they were obligated to observe something. And the Duras, although they're not in the future generation, they're not obligated to do that. But if they would volunteer on their own, they would have a kiyum mitzvah. So maybe that is the opinion, maybe that's the position of the Halachas Gedolos, that does deserve to be included in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. This is an interesting concept. It can explain a lot of other mysterious aspects of the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The whole institution of the Minyan HaMitzvahs is problematic. We don't understand what in the world is the difference whether something counts as a mitzvah or not. What is the relevance? What's the significance of stating that there are 613 mitzvahs? And some obligations you do count and some you don't count. What's the difference? Whether, we know what the dinim are. So what's the difference whether officially something is labeled as a mitzvah or not? So we really are not sure what the answer to that question is, but it's a pretty fundamental question. Barley grain for the Minchas Omer, and it wasn't done most of the time. It was not done on Matzoy Shabbos, so they would always repeat everything three times for emphasis, to emphasize the fact that we are subscribing to the Torah Shebal Peh. So it's interesting, the Rambam records the same practice with respect to getting married. Strictly speaking, you don't necessarily have to be Mekadesh a woman. You don't have to necessarily get married by giving her a ring. You can get married by writing a shtar. But because the Karoim didn't believe in Kiddush HaKesef, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara that Kiddush HaKesef is Torah Shebal Peh. Kiddush HaShtar is Torah Shebitzav. Kiddush HaKesef is Torah Shebal Peh. And all of the three groups of the Karoim from Asia, the Karoim from Africa, the Karoim from Europe, all of the Karoim have one thing in common. None of them use Kiddush HaKesef. So the Rambam writes that the practice by Orthodox Jews is the Davka to be Mekadesh with Kesef, to demonstrate under the Chuppah that we subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. Rambam writes such a similar practice also in Hilchas Milah, that strictly speaking, any sharp instrument may be used to perform the bris. Rambam says he can use a sharp blade of grass or a sharp edged glass or a piece of metal. Anything that's sharp. And the Rambam says you can use the scissors, you can use a knife, whatever you want. And then he adds on, and the practice by the Orthodox Jews is that you use a knife. What is that all about? The practice is davka to use a knife as opposed to a scissors. So the commentaries point out that the Karoim, who only follow Torah Shebichsav, have their own interpretations in Torah Shebichsav. So in Sefer Yehoshua, it's recorded that as soon as Bnei Yisrael crossed over the Yarden, right after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu on Zion Adar, so they crossed over the Yarden to enter Eretz Yisrael the very next month, Chodesh Nisan. And then they all performed the Bris Milah. There was a national Bris Milah, and all of the babies who were born during the 40 years of the Midbar, they weren't babies anymore, they were adults. The last national Bris Milah was in Mitzrayim, immediately before Yetzias Mitzrayim. And during the 40 years of traveling in the Midbar, the Gemara points out that only Shevet Levi were not nervous about the weather conditions. They had bitachin that there wouldn't be any sakana, and they alone observed the Bris Milah. All of the rest of the Shvatim were concerned about the suffix sakana. The weather conditions were not conducive to performing the surgery of the Bris Milah. So because of a suffix sakana, all the Shvatim except for Shevet Levi did not observe Bris Milah. So when they crossed over the Yarden, right away they observed Bris Milah in order to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. One who didn't have a Bris Milah is not permitted to participate in Korban Pesach. So at that time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Yehoshua ben Nun, Kach lecho charvos tzurim, v'shuv moles b'nei Yisrael shenis. They should do a second national Bris Milah. The first time was right before Pesach Mitzrayim, and now shenis, there was a second national Bris Milah for everybody. So the Karoyim interpreted the phrase that appears in the Pasuk, Kach lecho charvos tzurim, to mean that a bris must be performed dafke with the scissors. You have to have two sharp edges that cut one against the other. So the Rambam writes that strictly speaking, a scissors is acceptable to perform a bris milah, but the meaning by the Orthodox Jews is to demonstrate that we don't follow anything the Karoyim say, not lahachmer, not lahakel. So the meaning is that we choose dafke to use a knife as opposed to a scissors. Of course, the famous practice which we have for many centuries already to demonstrate that we don't follow the Karoyim, that we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh, is our practice of insisting on having hot cholent or hot tea on Shabbos. The Karoyim used to interpret the Pasuk Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Mosh V'Seichem B'Yoyim HaShabbos to mean that you're not permitted to leave any lights on, you're not permitted to leave any fires on Shabbos. So all the food they ate on Shabbos was always cold. So we have a minig b'davka to eat warm food on Shabbos to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the meaning of the pasuk Lo Sivaru Eish is you're not permitted to cause anything to burn. But if whatever you did on Erev Shabbos, any fire that you lit on Erev Shabbos, you can leave on Shabbos.